There you go. My name is Anish Sumar. I'm our regional team leader with Concurrency. I'm also a Microsoft MVP. My goal for this session today is to provide you with the abilities or provide you with the key ingredients for building a hybrid cloud, which is a cross-premise cloud, showing you some of the capabilities that Microsoft has offered with Windows Azure, and looking at some key scenarios based on the public and private cloud and what we have in our environments today, how we can take applications out to the public cloud from our private cloud, what scenarios make sense for just public, what scenarios make sense to remain in-house, and where do you bridge the gap between public and private for hybrid cloud. The other thing that I'm going to focus on, and I know a lot of this was covered earlier in some of the keynote presentations and Mark Rusinovich's presentation, so I'm not going to touch on every single aspect that was already covered in the keynote because I don't want to duplicate that. But at the same time, I want to cover the key components that are necessary to build it. And one of the other additions that I did, and this is where the demos were coming up earlier, the additions were more around managing the hybrid cloud. Because everyone's talked about how you can actually bridge the gap, you know, get your VNet in place, get your VMs deployed, get your applications deployed out there. But how do you actually manage them for the long term, right? So once I get them out there, it's great. Now I want the ability to be able to go and manage them, and I want to ensure that these key pieces from management, from an operations perspective, from a configuration perspective, all these things are intact so that when I'm maintaining my hybrid cloud environment, that I'm doing a really good job with it. So the agenda, as we spoke about, was to look into the different type of cloud models. There's a lot of confusion with the different terms that are out there. There's IaaS, PaaS, SaaS, and now there's hybrid. So it's like every day you turn around, there's a new acronym being introduced in IT, right? So it's one of the key challenges is being in IT. And a lot of times, sometimes when people ask me, it's like, well, you know, can you tell me what IT stands for? It's like, it's like information technology. It's like, yeah, you got it. But it's really hard because all the different acronyms that keep coming out, they keep changing on a day-to-day basis. And not only do the acronyms change, but the capabilities within them change. So that makes it a lot harder. So we're going to talk a little bit about the different types of cloud models, how to make all of them mesh and work together, or how to segment them. We're also going to talk about building cross-premise functionality. How many of you guys today are running in Windows Azure for your applications? Okay, very nice. And how many of you guys are running a private cloud in your environment? Okay, very good. So we're going to talk about where you can kind of bridge that gap and have the cross-premise functionality. We're going to actually go through an entire creation process of what it looks like, and then go right back into the hybrid scenarios. And last but not least, I want to talk about managing the components that you deploy out there. So everyone in their sessions earlier has really talked about deploying and building, deploying and building, deploying and building, and getting your stuff out there. Once you get it out there, where are you going to be able to manage it? How are you going to manage it? What's the notion of self-service behind that? Because if it's all about providing services to the business in a very transparent way, how does IT consume those services? And then we'll cover the business benefits, lessons learned, and some of the next steps. So what are the different types of cloud models in the environments? People that are running a virtualized data center, you're starting off with a private cloud. But when you say you're starting off with a private cloud, you're actually doing infrastructure as a service, right? So infrastructure as a service, and this is all out in Azure as well, is hypervisor, network, storage, compute, those layers that are actually allowing you to have control over your systems. So if you look at the bottom slide, and guys on the right-hand side, I apologize, if you guys want to come over or I can keep moving my neck back and forth to you guys, we'll talk about the different pieces. But for infrastructure as a service, if you look right here, the control is definitely there from a control layer. So I can control my storage, I can control my network, I can control all my virtualization platform. But as I start to move more into platform as a service, an example of platform as a service is SQL, SQL Azure. Right? So where I'm not necessarily worried about my network and all those other components, I'm just worried about getting that platform so I can develop on there. How many of you guys are developers? Oh my. So personally, I'm an IT professional. So today you're gonna get a take or a view of what the IT professional can do for building out these steps in Azure or building out a hybrid cloud in Azure, but what you can also take back to your IT professionals or the people that are gonna be enabling some of these solutions and managing them for you on the back end, from infrastructure as a service to platform as a service, so that you can deliver software as a service to the business. Now, software as a service is primarily there, it's just there for pure consumption. It's where the user logs into an app, consumes the application, doesn't really care where it's coming from, I just need to be able to consume that resource. Doesn't matter if it's on a platform, doesn't matter if it's on the infrastructure. But the layered approach is taking your infrastructure resources. Now, whether they're on-prem or whether they're in the cloud, the key message of this presentation is it almost doesn't matter, right? So whether I want to have my applications on-prem or in the cloud, what's going to enable me to do that, number one? And number two, what am I gaining and what am I losing? So am I gaining control? Am I losing control? Am I gaining more abstraction? What am I gaining? What are the cost efficiencies that I'm gaining? So some of the key things that the business is looking for that we're trying to achieve. So what are the hybrid cloud ingredients that you have, right? So for hybrid cloud ingredients, and I kind of stutter when I say it sometimes, you have your traditional infrastructure in place. How many of you guys just do not have any hardware, traditional infrastructure at all? You're just running pure virtual machines. You don't have any physical servers on your back. Oh, wow. So you guys are 100% virtualized. Very cool. Very nice. How many of you guys are running Hyper-V? Yay. How many of you guys are running VMware? Oh, no. So looking at that number, I mean, you do have your private cloud that's set up with VMware as well. So I'm going to go into the key ingredients, some of the application portfolio capabilities. And for a traditional data center, we're not really going to talk much about it. It's just a component that's a part of the hybrid cloud. The private cloud scenarios, we're actually going to demonstrate and what it takes to build one, and then the public cloud scenarios. So let's take a look at what the application portfolio management entails, right? Some of the challenges or some of the key items that drive me for application portfolio management to the hybrid cloud is really the relevance of the application to the organization. How relevant is this application to my organization? Does it need to actually be changed? Does it need to be redeveloped? Or can it stay where it is? Sometimes when you calculate financial factors into this, it's more of, well, if it's going to take me this much more time to develop this, or if I could just leave this on here because it's transitioning away to another app or to another software as a service solution, I really don't necessarily need to worry about it. I'm either just going to leave it on-prem for the next year and then just move to this new product, or I'm going to continue to develop so that I can take this out to Azure and scale this out. So the relevancy to the organization is extremely, extremely, extremely big. The other thing is performance of the application, right? So the performance of the application is, it's really important to know where your pairings need to be for your servers. For your servers, for your databases, for your web services, for your application servers, for your file servers, where they need to be. If you have one server that's going to constantly communicate with another server, if you're going to have one application component that's going to constantly communicate with another application component, do you really want to scale those out? So for example, I have my SQL services that's sitting out on-prem, but I have my web services that's sitting out in Azure to access the cloud. So granted, I can have a VPN connection to it, but if it's going to be a very SQL-intensive application, I'm not necessarily going to move back and forth between the cloud and my application. So the minute I lose network connectivity, I'm kind of out. So this is where you actually want to see what functionality or what function areas do you want to stick together for performance benefits and for application scalability. The other thing is maturity of the application, right? Like I said earlier, if the application is not mature enough where you can't really just, you don't even have the code sometimes. Sometimes you inherit the code, right? And there's many times, how many of you guys have just gone into an organization, walked in there and inherited the code? I mean, many of you, right? So, and you're smiling and you're like, yeah, I've been in that scenario and I I really can't push certain things out. That's where you actually need to look at the age and the maturity of the application. Another one, which is really non-technical, is compliance. My compliance department says these components need to be on-prem. This is what I have. This is a SOX requirement. This is a HIPAA requirement. This is a SAS 70 requirement. Whatever my compliance department kind of entails that I can have in the cloud, or do I need certain data sets that need to be on-prem? How many of you guys are a public company? Okay, so several of you, right? So when you're a public company, you definitely do have these particular compliances that are associated with those applications. It's not really a technology factor. It's more of a business factor. The other thing is, and I actually spoke about this earlier, is rewriting the application, or do I want to have migration pieces? Now, do I want to rewrite them for PaaS so that I can get a better capability that I don't necessarily have to look at? So if I have my blob storage that's sitting out there, and if I have my database that's sitting out there, I just want to be able to access particular items from my SQL database in Azure to those particular blob storage items, and I want to have that application just traverse that back and take it out of the traditional SQL model where everything's really intact. Do I really want to make that investment, right? And then last but not least, the hardware refresh cycle. So that one we really don't necessarily care about. Is it going to come up? Is the hardware refresh cycle going to come up? For us at Concurrency, we had a hardware refresh cycle that actually happened 2 months ago. So with this hardware refresh cycle, we're actually moving our servers out that have aged over the last 3 years, whose warranties have expired. And instead of buying more and more and more new servers, we actually have an on-prem kind of beef. We have two beefy on-prem servers for as a cluster. And then we've taken the rest of our services and we've started to migrate them out to Azure. Whether they're infrastructure services, whether they're more platform or application-based services. So a hardware refresh cycle is really, really important for that piece. Do you guys see any other things that you guys feel are important for this from an application portfolio management perspective that's not here? Okay. So now what we're going to do is we're going to actually deep dive into each one of the areas. And I'm going to show a PowerPoint, get into the key components that it takes to build these out, whether it's a private cloud or a public cloud, and the hybrid components that are associated with it. And as I start to go into it, we're going to talk about the key ingredients that are associated with each one of the sets and how do you bridge the gap. So what are the private cloud ingredients? So in a private cloud today, we have a very diverse infrastructure. How many people have multiple storage arrays where SQL's split up, where your applications are split up, where your VMs are split up, where your network is split up? How many of you guys have that? And how many of you guys have a centralized, pure infrastructure as a service-based logical infrastructure where you can cut between any storage device across all your data centers through a single console, cut across most of your network devices, and cut across any of your compute devices, all for self-service provisioning? Some people are like, wow, you said that all in one breath, huh? So the goal for a private cloud is to be able to create that logical standardization, which the public cloud already offers you, okay? So I'm not going to get too deep into the diverse infrastructure because we want to make sure that it's relevant for both the private cloud and the public cloud. And as I start to bridge the gap when we move to the hybrid scenarios, you'll see that the storage layer, the network layer, the SQL layer, the data sync, everything that's happening is now starting to come together from the puzzle. So the logical and standardization of these services is extremely important, right? Then you have creating some sort of a resource abstraction. So extracting which resources need to be allocated to what, whether it's an application, whether it's a service that you're providing or you're hosting for your environment. I actually had a customer that I was working with that had a medical imaging application. That medical imaging application and also another one that had a financial tax application, they needed certain components to be extracted from their production environment. So being able to create a particular type of private cloud that you can just say, I can point and shoot to any one of these resources across my multiple data centers and it'll cut according to the templates that I've assigned to it. It'll cut based on the process standardization that I've given it. And then once I cut and abstract these layers, this is just an abstraction. This is just a resource abstraction that's actually just pointing to those hardware or configuration layers. Now I'm ready to service up my capacity. So here are the people that are assigned to these resources that can consume these resources, that I can allow permission to consume these resources, and here's the best part. Consume them on demand based on the business requirement or the project that comes in. For example, if I need a particular set of infrastructure or software like SQL or web services or IIS or any one of the other components that I need to add to this machine, all this can happen on demand without me having to do it, right? Because that's the same thing. That's what you provision in the public cloud. So how do I actually ensure that those capabilities are there from the private cloud perspective? I'll demo these very briefly just to give you a quick idea and an overview, and then we'll move into the public cloud bridge scenario. And finally, how do I provide the end goal, which is standardized software as a service for my end users to consume, both from the private cloud scenario and from the public cloud side, all together as a hybrid cloud. So I'll actually discuss some of the scenarios that we've talked about. I'm not going to disclose any company names and things like that, but I'll talk to some of the scenarios and how they're using these hybrid clouds, how some of these customers are using these hybrid clouds. So let's walk into a demo. So this product here is System Center Virtual Machine Manager. Okay? System Center Virtual Machine Manager is a System Center component that allows me to manage my private cloud. The key things that I have on here are my fabric layer. Now, according to the last slide that I showed you guys earlier, the things that I have on my fabric layer are my storage providers, right? All my different SAN vendors that I have in my environment, anything that I have from a storage perspective that's sitting out there that is a SAN vendor, I can very quickly, easily bring those in here for my infrastructure as a service capability. What are the things that are in infrastructure as a service? Like I said, storage, network, compute resources, virtualization, all those things can come in here through SMIS providers, SMP providers, et cetera, where I can pull all my storage devices together and create that logical standardization. When I deploy to Azure, the way that Azure storage is configured is it doesn't really matter. They're not looking at a SAN. It's just a bunch of disks that I'm deploying to. I don't really need to worry about where it's going, how it's going there. I set up policies. I set up tiering. I set up these things on the private cloud, but in the public cloud, I don't necessarily look at it. So how do I actually achieve that, right? So this is where you could take your EMC array, your NetApp array, your Compellent array, and you can add them through an SMIS provider or an SMP provider and pull in all your different storage vendors into one single platform. So you can have storage as service. Same thing for the network layer, same thing for the compute layer. Now, for all of you guys that are running a VMware private cloud, the best thing about this is you can actually bring in your VMware environment, right? So you can plug in. Microsoft has promised interoperability. Finally, you're not just looking at Microsoft technologies to manage Microsoft products managing Microsoft technologies, right? You're looking at Microsoft management technologies that can manage heterogeneous environments for the private cloud scenario. So this is where I can bring in my vCenter environment, take all my virtual machines, everything that's associated with them, the storage, network, compute layers, and bring all that in. Now, I promise you guys, when you bring this environment in, you're not doing anything with Hyper-V. Okay? I know that's a really big concern. People are always worried, like, if I do a vMotion through here, is it actually going to use VMware in the background? Absolutely, it's not going to leverage Hyper-V. It's going to use the VMware functionality in the background for your virtualization environment. Now, getting to some of the components for platform as a service, or getting to some of the components of where I start to now build my application scenarios out, I have things like SQL profiles. So versus in Azure, you just go ahead and you say, I want to create a SQL database. Here's what I want. here's how I want it to be, the amount of storage, the amount of compute, et cetera. In Virtual Machine Manager, you have different SQL profiles that you can set up. So as you deploy a virtual machine or as you deploy an infrastructure, those SQL profiles allow you, how many of you are SQL administrators? Or know a little bit about SQL or have ever installed SQL? Can spell SQL, all right. So I'm gonna click on this, and if you guys have ever installed SQL, these screens look familiar to you, right? So instance name, instance ID, configuration, service accounts, Windows authentication, SQL authentication, et cetera, service accounts that need to be enabled, directories, et cetera. So this is where I can take my platform and layer that on the private cloud side so that when I start to move things from this particular piece, from my on-prem to my off-prem or to vice versa, I have these things configured. The biggest detriment, the reason why I'm showing you private cloud in the hybrid cloud scenario, and I'm not just going straight to Azure, is these are the biggest components that are missed. And the problem that ends up happening is people come back or developers come back and say, well, how come it's not working the same exact way that you promised it would work? Or how come, you know, Honor said in this session that the hybrid cloud would actually allow, enable me to do things, how come it's not working the same way in my environment? This is just an IT pro's view of how these components come together on the infrastructure side for the platform or for the private cloud scenarios. So having these things configured properly so that when you actually have them out in the public cloud, you want to ensure that you have both that are matching or that you're actually looking to consume both resources. The other thing is taking application profiles and having the system watch how you install the application. Now, this is a really cool feature, which I think is really important. This is where you take your scripts or your application and you say, here's my application profile, here's IIS, here's my web services. These are the things that I want installed, and you include those components. Now, the beauty of it is when I want to build my entire application scenario in the private cloud, I want to be able to point and click and say, I just want a CRM application, or I just want my ordering application, or I just want my medical application. I don't really care about the infrastructure behind it. I don't really care about all the services that you have to put together, right? And I want to do that by self-service. So this is the step below consuming these components for self-service. In here, I'm going to go ahead and create a service template. And this service template is going to allow me to build a 3-tier application, a 2-tier application, or as many tiers as I want. And over here, I'm just going to click on a blank template just to show you guys. And I'm going to take my web server. I'm going to drag it out here. I'm going to take my app server and drag it out. And I'm going to take my SQL server and I'll just drag it out. Ta-da, that's it. Right, now if I want to put network load balancers behind that, I go and I say I want to add a load balancer. And I connect that load balancer up. If I can click, I will connect it. Okay, so my mouse isn't cooperating. But this is the goal for being able to configure these deployments or build these out, right? So how many of you guys in your environment today can say, I want to just request an application and consume it? Have it completely built out. I want a full development environment, I want a full production environment, and I want a full DR environment. Right? This, I just dragged and dropped a few components. I know exactly how my application's built. I know exactly what network and these kind of things and that it needs to go on. But this is just a visual. Now, Microsoft introduced, and this is just a virtual machine management layer, Microsoft also has App Controller that sits on top of this that actually bridges between both on-prem and off-prem. So that's your hybrid cloud management scenario, or your hybrid cloud management solution. Wow, tongue twisters. Crawfish really got me. But App Controller is there. Microsoft's also introduced Catal, right? Catal allows you the ability to be able to take the same exact interface, and Brad said this in the keynote, the same exact Azure interface, not having to worry about any of this. You're a developer, you don't care. You just want the ability to be able to say, I want the same exact interface that I have in Azure to be on my on-prem solution. Catal is that on-prem solution. If you guys want to write this down, write this down. Catal is the on-prem solution that you want to have in front of your virtual machine infrastructure, your infrastructure as a service solution, so that you have that gap bridged between one common interface. I want to request virtual machines, I want to request resources, databases, whatever have you. I request them through Catal. Okay? And then I have my Azure console or my Azure portal as well. Yes. Microsoft has introduced Catal. They're actually doing, that's a really good question. So the question was, is Catal a Microsoft product? Yes, Catal is the product that's out in preview for Microsoft, where you have a service provider foundation where you can actually extend your APIs. If you want to start to host customers, you can start to host customers and have partners bridge into it, other customers bridge into it, and also control your private cloud as well as your public cloud scenarios. So Catal is aimed to be that common interface and bridge the gap between the public and private. Really good question, yes. It's something that's in preview right now. It's out there. I really strongly suggest you talk to your IT department about it if you guys don't manage the infrastructure. So great question. So within a point of a click or within a couple minutes, I can deploy an entire app, right, or an environment. So let's get out of that scenario, and let's move in to the public cloud. Show me how this looks in the public cloud. Right, so what are the public cloud application ingredients? You have your databases, your storage, your big data, VMs, app roles, web roles, all these different things that you have in your environment, right? These are your public cloud ingredients. I'm going to show you guys a demonstration of the public cloud scenarios. Now, how many of you guys have seen or played with Azure at least? I know a couple of you guys have it deployed, but how many of you guys have played with Azure at all? Okay, a couple of you. So I would say about roughly 25 to 30% of the room. So I'm going to show you guys what's there. I'm not going to duplicate too much of what you guys saw in the keynote. I'm not going to try to duplicate too much of what a lot of the other sessions have done. I'll show you exactly how the services are consumed. Both, I already showed you the private cloud. I want to show you how the services are consumed from a public aspect, and then I want to show you the bridged gap between from a hybrid scenario. So moving back to the demonstration. This is my Windows Azure portal, right? So my Windows Azure portal has the same things that I experienced with my other system. Catal's interface is the same as this. It's the same exact interface that you see. So you have one common interface between your private cloud and your public cloud. And in here I can see I have, you know, 5 virtual machines, I have 2 websites, I have 6 cloud services in here, I have multiple databases, or I have a database, I have multiple storage accounts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are all the things that I can set up and build real fast with just a point of a few clicks. So let's actually do something, right? If I want infrastructure as a service, I go into compute and I click, I want, so okay, let me stop here. At the bottom, there's an option here for new. It's kind of hidden. If you guys haven't used it, I would say about 70% of you guys, if you haven't used it, look at the bottom. I know it's not right at the top. You don't get to actually select the options when you're on the pane. Look at the bottom. It's on the bottom left-hand corner. Click on new. And now I have an option to provision all these different things, right? So I have my compute, my data services, my app services, my networks, et cetera. So for compute, I'm going to say I want to provision a virtual machine. Okay? So this is where I can select a whole bunch of different images within my gallery. So I have all my favorite operating systems all the way down to Linux, Unix, or Linux, Ubuntu, whole bunch of different ones that I can't even probably pronounce, but they're all in here, right? So I have my different SQL servers. If I want to just deploy all these, I have my images here. So I also have my platform, or I also have my images. My images section can say, guys, I've already defined, and I don't have any in here, but my images section can say, I've already defined what I want my VMs to look like in the public cloud, not talking private. In the public cloud, I've already defined what I want these to look like. I have particular settings that I want. I have particular things that I need these things to have. I have a particular background or setting, whatever have you. This is what I have in here, and that could be a part of my images. So I'm going to choose an operating system. I'm just going to say I want Windows Server 2012 Data Center. And I want to say this is the version release date. The virtual machine is going to be Let's just say I want to build a medical application server. Okay, so medical app 007. I don't know why I thought of 007, but I should put that in there. I saw the James Bond thing where where Brad was just coming out of the car, and I'm like, I just wish my demo had an Aston Martin or something that I can show off. But say medical app. Now, this is where I can select the size, right? I want this virtual machine to be a particular size. I have a small virtual machine. I have an extra small virtual machine. I have medium. I don't need to read these out. You guys see the capabilities and all the different things that I can put in here. I want 56 gigs of RAM. I want 8 cores, whatever. I'm just going to say I want a small virtual machine to start. I'm going to say my username is TechEd. And my password, I'm not going to say it. You guys thought I was going to say my password. And I probably don't know how to spell my own password. So now I have an option to create a standalone virtual machine, or I can connect it to an existing virtual machine. So if when I'm creating a standalone virtual machine, this is going to be an independent virtual machine. If I want to connect this to another server, another application server where I want them to talk, and I don't necessarily have network services or these other things that are set up, and I want just for them to be able to communicate with each other also, I can connect it to an existing virtual machine too. Okay? So I'm going to say I want a standalone virtual machine. The DNS name is going to be medical app. Yeah, that worked. Okay. And this is going to be in my Cincy Azure account. And these are going to be the virtual subnets. Now, I'm going to get a little bit deeper into the virtual networking area when we do the cross-premise bridge. But I'm just going to go ahead and choose one of these for now. So I'll say I don't want an availability set yet. And I'll go ahead and I'll create the virtual machine. Right? Start to finish. Virtual machine provisioning process. Very similarly, if I want a database, very similarly, if I want a website, et cetera. So let me just show you guys what that looks like. But I have my data services, SQL database. I can custom create it, right? I'm not gonna create each one of these, but I can custom create my SQL database, hit OK, this is what I want. I want Web or Business Edition, next. Same thing for my website, et cetera. So these are really easy to consume resources. If you want to bridge that gap, and I keep bringing up Catal, but if you want to bridge that gap, have the same exact interface for both so that you know how you're consuming both resources. Okay. So while this is provisioning, this is my setup for the public cloud area, right? So that's going to take a while. I'm going to switch back into the PowerPoint and wait for that to finish provisioning, and then I can add other resources in there. But that's the public cloud application deployment model. So I want to create a service, I want to create other applications, I want to create web, I want to create a SQL database. You guys see how I can take my platform as a service, how I can take my virtual machines for my infrastructure as a service, and build things out of it, right? Now, how do I enable these services, right? So now that I've built these services, how am I going to actually enable them from an identity perspective? How am I going to enable them from a network perspective? How am I going to enable them from a coding perspective? These are the things that I'm looking for on the back end. So for Windows Azure and for private, I have identity, virtualization, management, and development. Now, Microsoft recently recently introduced Windows Azure Active Directory, which is extremely cool, extremely valuable. But you can also have your Active Directory server that's deployed for identity management in Windows Azure. So if you want the items that are in Windows Azure to be able to communicate with Active Directory ADFS or a domain controller that you want to put out in Windows Azure, this now allows me to have a domain controller out there for my clients that are out in Windows Azure, and also have a domain controller that's on-prem replicating with my clients that are out there in Windows Azure from an identity perspective. My user accounts, my computer accounts, all these things are meshed and synced between the two domain controllers, one sitting in the cloud, one sitting on-prem. Extremely valuable, especially when you're trying to bridge the gap from an identity management perspective in the public cloud. I want to be able to take both components, and I want to be able to operate seamlessly, whether I'm just using or accessing services that are out there, or whether I'm using services that are in-house. In-house AD usually works pretty well. Externally, I want to be able to make sure that I can communicate between both. The next component is virtualization. So I want to be able to take my traditional data center, my virtualized data center, and bridge the gap between public and private. Now, this is where we're going to do some demonstrations of cross-premise connectivity and building out a VNet network between Azure and my on-prem solution. So this is where I can take my virtualization platform and take VHDs and take them from my on-premise solution to my off-prem solution. Similar to what I showed earlier with the library, where you can take your own images and put them out there, right? This slide, I think, is extremely valuable. System Center is the management solution that Microsoft has for managing your back office and your back end. You have Operations Manager to manage both. You have management packs and things that I'll kind of introduce or talk about. But you want to be able to manage both on-prem applications or on-prem components that are out for your application, as well as external components. So System Center Operations Manager has an Azure management pack that allows me to manage my Azure components as well as my on-prem components. And I'll show you a demonstration of an application that's a hybrid application that's a part of both Windows Azure and my on-prem solution. That's for an operations management perspective. How many of you guys, when you're troubleshooting a scenario, get caught between, is it my issue or is it someone else's issue? I see people smile like, what kind of question is that? That's, of course, right? So you get caught between, is it a network problem? Is it a server problem? Is it a database problem? Is it a website problem? I don't know. I'm a developer, dude. Leave me alone. I don't care. I just want this application to work. So looking at it from an operational perspective, System Center has, or System Center Operations Manager has, distributed applications. Those distributed applications take your components that are in the public cloud, show you a picture, take a business service. What does IT do for the business? IT provides technology services so that they can be consumed, right? So in my business service, I have a particular web portal that's out in Azure. I have storage components that are on-prem. I have compute components that are on-prem. All these things start to break out from my top-level financial application, my medical application, my ordering application, my application that's external to customers, my application that's external to users. So it starts to break these components out. And I'll actually show you a deep dive demonstration on how this works, but all those components are there from a System Center Operations Management perspective. You also have Data Protection Manager. I want to be able to protect and still back up these resources. I also have a Virtual Machine Manager perspective, right, which I kind of showed you guys, and CATL. So some of these key components allow me to enable the management layer for my hybrid applications. Okay. And then finally, development. So this is where, when you guys saw the introduction of Visual Studio 2012 and some of the key components and the enablers that are there, this is where I could take my code and code it for whether it's on-prem, whether it's off-prem, whether it's for platform as a service, just be able to code between both, connect to both, be able to do whatever I need to from a development perspective. So let's talk a little bit about this missing piece, right? So what is this missing piece? Now, I've talked about public cloud. I've talked about private cloud. I know it's not all going to come together on each and every single layer from each side. But do you guys, and with the nod of heads or, you know, hand raises, do you guys understand the key things that we're looking for from a private cloud and a public cloud before we start bridging into building hybrid applications? Some nods? No nods? Yeah. All right. Let me know if you guys have any questions. We have a small intimate group here. If you feel like you want to ask some questions on the private or public side, please do ask. I don't mind demonstrating and showing you these capabilities. Okay. One of the key things is cross-premise connectivity. So you have multiple items for cross-premise connectivity. Your first item that you have is site-to-site network connectivity. This is really, really, really big for production environments. I'm not talking about development. I'm not talking about the other scenarios where you can have different connectivity components. But for your site-to-site network connectivity, it's like you're carving out a piece of Azure that's external, and you're saying, You're a part of my network now. I bought the subscription, but I want you to be a part of my network. Here's a site-to-site connectivity through VNet, and I want to be able to take my resources and have them work with, I want to take my on-prem resources, and I want to take my public cloud resources, and I want them to work together. Okay, so that's one of the main things. That's the key component that we're going to demonstrate. Second thing is machine-to-machine connectivity. So this is there for mainly development scenarios. This is there with Azure Connect. So if I'm an IT administrator, I don't necessarily want you to be able to deploy all my development or all your development machines out to Azure and just completely kill what I have for production. You're going to consume my $50,000 that I have out there, and you're just going to start taking all these resources, and this is where the IT guys start to gripe. Like, oh, you guys always just want virtual machines. You guys always just want these things. And then you just look at them, and you nod your head, and you walk away. But this is where you can have particular things of or particular connection between one server that's on-prem to another server that's in the cloud through Azure Connect. And Azure Connect is machine-to-machine connectivity. So it takes an agent that's on-prem, and it goes ahead and it puts it to, and you also have an off-prem agent. And those two can now talk, so you have the ability to talk between those two servers. The next thing is the service bus. Really important for application layer connectivity and messaging, some things that we're going to kind of demonstrate a little bit down the line. And data, right? Data. I want to be able to take my on-prem data, my SQL data here, my on-prem data, and I want to be able to have data synchronization with my cloud, with my public cloud. So all the components that are out there in Azure, I want them to sync back and forth between my private cloud as well. And then, like I said, System Center, application monitoring, management, et cetera, to be able to complete your on-prem solution and your off-prem solution for hybrid capabilities. Any questions? Any questions? Going once, going twice? Sold. Right. So here's a quick slide demonstration showing that. I'm not going to talk about all this. I just want to get more to the demos and show you guys how the capabilities work. But this is where you have your Azure Connect primarily for developers. So you have the machine-to-machine connectivity. This one is more for a production-based scenario where you bridge from one site to another out in Azure your connectivity for your virtual network. And that's what allows you to take the resources that are out there and have them communicate with your internal resources. So let's do a demonstration of that. No more talk on that. Let's do some demonstrations on that. So this is where I go back down to new. How many of you guys have set up a VNet? One guy. One and a half guy. Okay. So I'm going to go here. I'm going to go to networks. I want to provision a virtual network. Okay. Now, I already have one provisioned up, so I'm not going to do it twice. I already have a network connectivity point, but I'll show you guys exactly where this is going to start bridging in. So that virtual network now, I'm going to do a custom create, and I'll call this my cross-premise connectivity, right? So I call this my cross-premise bridge. Now, I already have my DNS servers and things that are set up with Azure. So this is where you can say, I have DNS or VPN connectivity. Here's what I want from a networking perspective for DNS to be for my primary. I want this to be for my secondary. These are the subnets that are associated with it, et cetera. So I already have SYNCI DC2, and I have SYNCI DC3, which are also an Active Directory integrated servers. Then I have two other options here. I can configure a point to site VPN, or I can configure a site-to-site VPN, right? So I want to be able to have a full site-to-site connection between my on-prem resources and my off-prem resources. And this is where I can build that. Now, I'm not going to create this. I actually will show you one that's already created and that's set up. But this is where I can add subnets and add gateways, IP address space. Is this simple, or do you guys think that it's still complex? Simple? Good stuff? Okay. So this is how I can bridge my on-prem connectivity to my external data center. So in here, I already have my networks. And I can click on my network here, and I can look at my dashboard, and I know that this network is connected for my environment. So this is a real live connected network for my demo environment that's on-prem in Brookfield, Wisconsin, as well as the components that I have in Azure. Any questions around that before we start getting into the management layer? Yes. Firewall?
Yeah.
Firewall ports, connectivity, ensuring that, so the question was you know, what kind of device or even what devices are supported, right, that can bridge between that. So if you have your firewall, you can actually go on Windows Azure portal for the different appliances that are supported on there. Today, there's a large group of appliances like Juniper and some of those other, SonicWall or whatever have you, appliances that are there. You can open up your ports, and you can ensure that you have a site-to-site connection with this, point your external IP address in and your Azure IP address in, and be able to build that bridge. You need the proper credentials, and you can build that bridge out. So it's pretty simple to do. All the steps that I showed you, that's primarily most of the steps. Okay. You got to make sure your device is supported. I think that's really important. So good question. I'm going to move more into, and I have about 26 minutes here, so I'm going to start moving more into the scenarios. So here's a sample scenario, right? In the sample scenario, I have my on-prem AD. I have a tunnel, a gateway that's going out to the cloud. I have load balancers that I've set up in the cloud, and I have my front-end servers, I have my SQL mirror, I have all these things that are set up, and I have my customers that are coming in externally into my corporate network, right? And vice versa, external. This is just the traditional slide that shows you a basic application deployment for this type of scenario. Let me talk a little bit more in depth about a medical application that we just recently went through, or even a financial application. So, printing and scanning is huge, right, from a medical perspective. Same thing from a tax perspective. So the IRS doesn't really like your business or your other property tax returns in a electronic format. They still want the paper. So things that are allowing me to scan that come in here from one side and go through my application, having those files that are out here from a medical imaging perspective, where the doctor goes and looks at the medical images, can have them on-prem, but they're also replicated off into an external public cloud. And that then has all the transitions that are there for the application and the top layer to be able to take that image, bring it in, make sure that the patient record is there, you know, kind of have all that compiled together from an application perspective so that it comes right back down so customers or patients can connect to the Azure site and pull in their data or look at their data. They don't necessarily have to connect into the corporate or the bottom layer. They connect in at the top layer. Same thing from a tax perspective, right? So if I have a business tax return that's going out there, it's going out to the business, or it's going out to the cloud. The business can view their tax return, all the changes that are happening, continuously monitor and look at the updates that are happening in that tax application. And as it's ready to go to Internal Revenue Service, how many of you guys filed your taxes right on April 15th? Because I was like 12 o'clock, I was running to the post office. So this is where it actually gets printed out at the bottom, right? So it comes back down, traverses back down, so customers can view it at the top, but it's coming back down from a file copy perspective back into my on-prem environment for printing. I don't have too many application servers or components that I need to manage on-prem. So that's a hybrid cloud scenario, okay? Now, building that is definitely needs a lot of thought on that, but we can't get into all the different components on how that's built out. But just to give you guys an idea of some of the customer scenarios that are out there, they exist and people are using hybrid cloud applications. How many of you guys tend to move to or are thinking of moving to a hybrid cloud scenario? Yes. How many of you guys are not? What? One guy? No, absolutely. Absolutely. And as a slide that I showed earlier, right? And the slide that I showed earlier, there are certain cases where you can't. You have compliance. They're just non-technical. They're business relevant rules that you just can't, you know, you can't take things out. So good point. I was just messing with you there. It's in the evening, I'm ready to go back on Bourbon Street, so I'm just having a little bit of fun. Don't mind me. You can throw something after the session, not now. So the power of VHD mobility, I have my data center. Like I said, I have Azure. I want to be able to take VMs, or I want to be able to take the things that the VMs that I've set up on-prem or into Azure, as well as external service providers, right? So I want to be able to give another external service provider that's running Hyper-V maybe my same exact image. Now I have the VHD mobility capability to be able to do that. Let's start going more into demos. I just want to drive more demos so that you guys can see the powerful capabilities of managing applications with System Center. So here's a slide that talks about how applications are monitored with System Center. I'm going to just show you the demonstration and what that looks like from a monitoring perspective. So I have an on-prem scenario where I have my on-premise application, I have my Windows Azure worker roles or my VMs out there. They're sitting out there, but this application that I was talking about earlier, this is my hybrid application. So I have my on-premise components that are here, I have my cross-premise components that are out in the cloud on the other side, but they're coming together so that I know every single component of the application and how that's broken out. So let's do a demonstration of that. Switch over to here. Here's my cross-premise application, okay? So as I break this cross-premise application out, I can see that this cross-premise application is in an unhealthy state. But where's the problem, right? Is the problem on-prem? Is the problem off-prem? Is the problem in between? What's causing this application to be in an unhealthy state? I see my website's up. I see my Linux application server is down. Now, this has interoperability. I want to keep mentioning this. If you guys are looking, or if you guys, how many of you guys already run EC2 or are looking to do EC2 in your environments? It's okay, I won't say anything. Okay, so a couple of you guys, right? You can also take your EC2 infrastructure or your EC2 applications that are out there and the components that are out there and bring them into the centralized environment. So you have your external VMware, like we said. You have your external Citrix environment. You have your Hyper-V environment. You have your SQL servers. You have your websites. You have your EC2 components. You have your Azure components. All these things come together so you actually have a full visibility of the entire application or the business service that you're providing. That's your hybrid monitoring scenario for your hybrid application. Is this valuable? I mean, is this something that you guys would be extremely helpful even if you guys aren't in a hybrid scenario today? Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is what bridges that gap. I actually had a customer that, and this is not a hybrid scenario, but I had a customer that came to me and he said, you know what, we were trying to figure out what the problem was, but the, you know, where people constantly lose connectivity to their email application or to Outlook. And I'm like, oh, did you check, your CAS servers? And I'm here I am just starting to troubleshoot, right, without just thinking about it. I showed them the distributed application, and we built one out for them, and they were able to see that their Outlook wasn't disconnecting because the CAS array was going down. Their Outlook was disconnecting because port 22 on core switch 1 was flapping, thus causing their CAS array to bounce between those things. So Outlook's disconnecting, and I'm like, oh, it's an Outlook problem. No, it's not. It's a network port 22 problem. So this is what will give me that visibility into it. Same thing for your hybrid application. Very, very powerful for monitoring. I couldn't express it enough. Extremely powerful for monitoring your applications, right? So that's where I have my financial databases. I can see all the other databases here are up, but I see my wallet application or my wallet database is offline for some reason. I can also look into my Azure applications. This is actually loading. I was just deploying this as a part of the demo. But once these roll-ups start to come in or once the agents start to report back in, I can see the health of the services out in Azure as well. So this is my Azure subscription that's tied into here from my Azure services that I can see holistically from a hybrid cloud approach. The good thing about this is documentation too, right? How many of you have an accurate document or accurate, you're already starting to laugh because I'm not even going to ask the question. How many of you guys have an accurate Visio of every single application or business service that you provide that's up to date today? How many of you have one application that's 100% up to date? One. Yes! It's going to be out of date next week. Okay. So this is where you can actually export these items to Visio and actually create a document on this. So if you're going into a meeting, you want to say, look, here's the scenarios we're discussing. Here's the hybrid approach we're discussing. I want to export these items to Visio so that I can look at this application. All right, so moving on. Helpful distributed application. You can also do synthetic transactions. Synthetic transactions go in query, right? They go and they query. If I have an application availability set with Global Service Monitor, you have the ability to use Microsoft 16 data centers that are out there, that are out in Azure also, to monitor your application availability from India, from the US, from Europe, wherever have you. They have all these data centers that are split across. I want to know what it looks like for a European user that's connecting into this application. I can set up a synthetic transaction for that. Okay? So it's extremely valuable, it's extremely helpful, both from a data and web availability perspective. Just cause my servers are up, and this is an IT guy's mentality sometimes, just cause my servers are up doesn't mean my application is up. I need to make sure my application can be consumed for it to be up. That's where synthetic transactions actually look at the application as if it was a real person and test them from 16 different locations around the world. GSM, Global Service Monitor, if you're looking for that ingredient, it's there in this recipe today. All for $9.99. So the next capability that I was talking about was App Controller, which we want to centralize with Catal. I'm not going to talk too much about that because I've already talked more about that earlier. And I want to show you guys something that's I really want to show this to you. It's extremely valuable for you to consume these services, right? Whether they're out in Azure or whether they're on your internal network, you don't necessarily want to care. You want to consume these resources. How many of you, and I know there's a people, there are some of you guys in the audience that kind of looked and said, there's no way he's talking jazz. This is not happening. How many of you have a self-service capability for when some user comes into the environment, or user or app dev person, or how many of you guys would like this? Forget have. But go into an environment, fill out a small form with particular questions, just contextual questions for once. Contextual questions that you can really quickly put information in so that you can consume an entire deployment of an application. How many of you guys have that today? I put in questions, I hit submit, it goes to the IT administrator or the director or the project approver or whoever controls those resources, and once they hit approve, all these things start to build out themselves. I know it sounds like black magic, I'll show you. I'm not even kidding, it's real, right? So here is, how many of you guys think I'm crazy? All right, I got one guy out there. So I'm just excited about these products, right? So as you can tell, I'm extremely excited about these products. I want to show how you guys can build these hybrid technologies or hybrid cloud applications so that you can take these back to your business and be successful. My end goal and my wish for this session or for you guys is for you to be successful in deploying these applications so that you guys can be more successful in making your business successful. There's too many successfuls, but this is System Center Orchestrator. How many of you guys have seen System Center Orchestrator? One guy. Two guys. Two and a half? Okay, two guys. System Center Orchestrator is your workflow engine that's a part of System Center. Real quick background on System Center. System Center is a suite of products just like Microsoft Office that Microsoft provides for the back end. That, like you have Word, you have Excel, you have PowerPoint, Outlook, etc. You have System Center, all the System Center products that come together in this. Orchestrator is the workflow engine that's behind that. There are, I can think of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tasks that you do that are manual, that are repeatable, that you do the same exact way over and over and over and over again, right? So taking these tasks and building automation around them is extremely important. But furthermore, taking a self-service component and sticking contextual questions behind that automation so that that can be consumed is even more powerful, right? So in here, I have a workflow or a runbook that's sitting here. How is this built? I call this like the Pinocchio effect, right? Where you drag and drop objects from these integration packs that are out here. So I can just drag and drop objects. And I'm not going to do it because I'm going to break my runbook. But I drag and drop these objects out here. And as I start to drag these objects in here, I can see things like my VM properties, my application properties, my database properties. Everything that's actually sitting back here, I can see all those things, right? So whether it's PowerShell, VB, whatever have you, you guys are developers, you guys know how to build this out. That automation is built in on the back end. Okay, so this workflow is designed for me to be able to deploy, and guys, I was serious about this, deploy to either Azure, now this is just a VM role, or a VM, not role, but a virtual machine, to Azure, to my VMware environment, yay, for all those of you guys that are running VMware, and to my Hyper-V environment, for those of you guys that would like to deploy the new 2012 capabilities that are just awesome. They're there. So this workflow has that decision tree so that you can deploy to any one of those solutions. This is a hybrid workflow, right? So what I'm going to do, how many of you guys want to see me deploy this? You guys want to see this just being consumed, right? So there we go. I'm going to walk in here, and here's my portal. So this is my just my basic portal for TechEd that we've created just for this demonstration. This is real. I'm going to deploy to my private cloud in here, and I'm also going to deploy to Azure. But look here on my hypervisor. If I can click on my hypervisor. Network. All right. So on my hypervisor, you guys see I don't have, I'm going to create an application called Hybrid, or I'm going to create a virtual machine called Hybrid. Do you guys see Hybrid on there at all? No? I'm going to actually log right back into this guy just to make sure that I'm not showing you smoke and mirrors. So the goal of the demonstration is to provision a service on-prem in my data center, in my private cloud, and I want to use this service. And so I'm a cautious guy. I don't want to start by throwing everything out in Azure right away. I want to slowly migrate myself out there. So my DR refresh is coming up. Like I said, there was hardware refresh, right, as a part of one of those things. So my DR refresh is coming up next month. I want to deploy my application, or I want to deploy my server out to Windows Azure for DR. So I have a medical application server that I'm going to build up for on-prem, but I just want my DR services to be out in Azure. So I don't have to build a DR data center. How many of you guys think that having just a cold data center that's sitting there with tons and tons and tons of hardware that you don't really necessarily need to use is valuable? Right? So if you guys have DR out there, that's a good start. Try testing between your on-prem and off-prem solution. Before you get really comfortable with it, try testing your DR out there. Fail over applications, fail over different things out there, right? So this scenario, if RDP logs in, the guys in the back are like, don't look at me. This scenario will allow me to request items through a portal and have them automatically deploy in the background. Okay. Any questions so far while this item is connecting? Any questions around hybrid IT? Any questions on just the components from an IT pro's perspective, even from a perspective of how to enable this? Are you guys, did you guys find this session valuable? Did you guys think that these, yes, awesome. How many of you guys, what are some other things that you guys want to know? I know this session just connected, and I think you want to know the demo. So, but what are some of the other things that you guys want to know? Keep those thoughts, and we'll get to them in just a minute. Oh, come on. Are you seriously going to do this to me?
about? Ooh.
So my network seems to be frozen here. But the goal of this is to show a deployment scenario. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, here's what I'll do. I got a better idea. I'm going to log into another server to see if I can show you at least the consumption process, because I would hate to talk about a demo and not just be able to show it. So RDS8. You know what's funny? I did this demo. I want to say multiple times. Oh, here's a really cool thing. I did this demo twice. Once today in my earlier session. So if you guys really want to see this demo, and if it's just not coming together in the next 5 minutes that I have, please do watch my other sessions from earlier in the day. I assure you, you'll see two working demos. I have one yesterday for automatic provisioning, and I have one today this morning. So please do. Look up my name. My name's Anur, A-N-N-U-R. Last name, Sumar, S-U-M-A-R. Look up those sessions and view that demo. I'm going to actually try to get in here and show you guys as much as I possibly can right now. So I'm remoting into a completely different environment that I didn't even stage my demo for, but let's see if my demo's up. Remote session has ended. Yes, okay. So my demonstration is up. Please. All right, I'm going to try the other system. So this is what happens when you don't pray hard enough to the demo gods. When you wake up in the morning and you say, I really hope that at least give me a success rate on my sessions, and they end up giving you 66% on the demonstration. So bear with me for this. Once again, if you guys want to see this truly working, please do view the automation component. I'm going to walk through this right now. And this one seems to be working. So I'll walk through this process. What are your questions that you have before I demonstrate this process while this is loading? What are your questions around hybrid IT? Hit me. No, not literally, but with your questions.
Is there an
Yes. So from the API side, you have a service provider foundation that plugs into the Catal side. For those of you that that are kind of looking at this demonstration, anybody that's leaving, I want you guys to know that if you like the session, you can evaluate it. If you didn't like it, don't worry about it. But please do evaluate our sessions. That's the last slide. So thank you very much. I know there's two or three people that are walking out. And here it is. So I'm going to go into cloud services, and I'm going to say data center services. And under data center services, I have multiple options for data center services, whether they're public and private. I want to create a new highly available virtual machine. Whether it's in Azure or whether it's in my private cloud. And I'm going to go to the VM request form, right? So in this VM request form, I'm going to say provide a description for the virtual machine and the function that I'm requesting. I'm going to say I want a finance application server. How many CPUs do you want? I'll choose 4 CPUs. How much memory do I want? I want 4 gigs of RAM. How much hard drive space do I want? And this is what the note my storage administrator left me. He's like, you better be really kidding if you're asking for 64 terabytes on-prem. But I'll choose the operating system, and I'll choose next. And this process is where I choose. So if you guys saw my runbook earlier that showed the hybrid scenarios, this is what will allow that data that I'm putting in or that I'm filling out as an end user to pass through to my runbook, to pass through to my workflow. So whatever information I'm dropping down or that I'm dropping into and selecting here will pass into that runbook, and that runbook will then be enabled for it to kick off for automatic execution. Does this make sense? How this is working, the back-end intellectual process, right? So I'm going to say Azure Virtual Machine, I want this person is the business sponsor, et cetera. I want it by this date. Click Next and submit, and this will start to create that process. Good stuff. Okay, so this will start to kick off that process. This is a Microsoft product. This is Microsoft Service Manager. Absolutely. So Microsoft Service Manager uses the web portal front end of SharePoint to provide service offerings. Have you heard of the ITIL framework for taking your technology processes and putting them together? System Center Service Manager is like the glue of System Center. It's the granddaddy of them all. It has a CMDB. That CMDB, you can create incidents, changes, problems, service requests. This is an example of a service request. That service request is now being consumed from the end user or from the app developer, and it's being deployed on demand after proper automatic approval, automatic or proper approval, so that that provisioning process or that repetitive task can be self-serviced in the future over and over and over again. The problem is not deploying the service once to many people. The problem is doing it over and over and over again. Pardon me? So Catal plugs right now, the version of it plugs into more of the virtual machine and provisioning layer. And you can have runbooks that provision directly through that layer from both either on-prem or off-prem. So here's an example of a runbook that I just deployed or showed you guys. Make sense? So with that said, I have literally 6 seconds left. Hybrid IT as a service is the end goal for this hybrid application, right? So for all my scenarios. So I have my hybrid IT as a service where I can have my public cloud, my private cloud, my virtual machines all configured, deployed, and have a service model for self-service consumption and on the layer for me to consume all these services that I'm delivering to the business for an application. I want to thank you guys for coming to this session. I want to thank you guys for being patient on some of the demos that are there. And I also hope to see many, many, many more deployments in the hybrid cloud scenarios. With that said, thank you guys very much. Maybe see you on Bourbon Street. So please do fill out your evaluations. And if you like the session, I'd love to get some feedback from you. If you didn't like the session, don't worry too much about it. You'll be just fine. I'm just kidding. Have a great time, guys. Enjoy the rest of your tech ed. And I look forward to speaking to you.